Good evening, brethren and sisters. I bring with me the love of your brothers and sisters in the Mumbles Ecclesia from Southwest Wales. I also bring the love particularly of my mum and dad, Brother Michael and Sister Rishma Owen, and Sister Amy, my sister, who I'm sure some of you have met. They particularly asked that I pass their love on. We'd like to take our exhortation this evening from our reading in Exodus. So I'd just like you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 38. Where we read a lot of detail regarding the tabernacle, including some rather significant numbers for the amount and the measurements of the tabernacle. And then we read in verse 21 of Exodus chapter 38, "This is the sum. This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted." Now, you may have a different version, but the English here doesn't quite pick up what the Hebrew is saying, because the word sum is the same Hebrew word as the word counted. So this is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted, the sum of it. So I would suggest that we're sort of being asked perhaps to look carefully at this, because the creating of the tabernacle was, of course, far from arbitrary. It wasn't left to the interpretation or the creativity of two brilliant men. We read in the rest of that verse, "According to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest, and Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses. And with him was Aholiab, son of Ishamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and cunning workman in embroidery, in blue and in purple, in scarlet and fine linen." So there are two brilliant men here, Bezaleel and Aholiab, who have been chosen to do this work of crafting the tabernacle. But it's not left to them to interpret how it is they're going to do it. For all their brilliance, God has set out very clearly how the tabernacle was to be constructed. And they weren't to deviate from it in any way. Now, just of interest, we note that there's a key number which the tabernacle is based upon. Those mathematicians in the audience will notice that the tabernacle is based on, we'd say, base 5. In other words, many multiples of 5 are in the making of the tabernacle. Just quickly flick back to chapter 36. Let me just illustrate this for us. So verse 10, "He coupled the 5 curtains unto one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled to one another." Verse 12, 50 loops made he, and so on. Verse 13, "He made 50 clasps of gold." Verse 16, "He coupled 5 curtains by themselves, 6 curtains too." And you can say, well, that's not a multiple of 5, Pete. But you'll see that the key number is this base 5. And we're not going to go through all of the verses for it, but all the way through Exodus chapter 36 and our reading today, Exodus chapter 38, we would see that the key number that the tabernacle is based on is 5. Now, why is that so significant? Come to Exodus chapter 13. So in chapter 13, we read of the children of Israel leaving. They've left Egypt, haven't they? They've had the Passover, and they're heading out towards the Red Sea. And we read in verse 17, "As it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go," so Exodus 13, verse 17, "when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt." Now, just note that, because that happens in our lives sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes we think we know the way, and for whatever reason, it seems that we're, I don't know, taken off course a bit. We're taking on an alternative route. And it can feel, hold on, I'm heading in that direction. Why has God taken me over here? And at the time, they may not have known why they were going the long way round. But God is in control of their lives, and he's bringing them to the promised land. They've left Egypt, they've had the faith to leave, but God is in control. And sometimes we have to accept that in our lives, don't we? That though we've had the faith to leave Egypt, we're on a wilderness journey, as our president alluded to in his prayer. And on occasions, we can't be 100% sure why we seem to be on the path or the road that we seem to be on as we're heading to the promised land. We've got to trust that God is in control of our lives. But God, verse 18, led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, if you look in your margin, if you have an authorized version, next to the word harnessed, you'll see it says something different. It says, doesn't it, by five in a rank. Now, isn't that interesting? That they leave Egypt, and as they walk to the promised land, they walk harnessed, kept together by five in a rank. And the spiritual point is this, that God was never interested, as it were, in dwelling in a tabernacle or in a tent, or for that matter, in the bricks and mortar of the temple. God wants to dwell with people. And these structures, the tabernacle, the temple later on, were created for Israel to come to know God. The design, the materials, the buildings were all to ensure that men and women could understand and know God. All the specifications that are laid down in the law that seem to us so complicated and so tough to try to read through. They're divine measurements set out by God. We read, don't we, in Revelation 21, we won't turn there, of the consummation of the plan and the purpose of God. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. It's Eden restored, isn't it? And when God called people out of Egypt, he wasn't calling them to go and build a tabernacle, as it were. He was calling a people to himself that he might dwell with them. So, brethren and sisters, we're exhorted to ask ourselves, are we following the pattern? Are we sticking with the script of Scripture? Or are we caught up with the thinking of our age and moving away from the Word of God? We're seeing major challenges, aren't we, across the world to our community, to the Christadelphian community. The community that for many, many years, for far before my generation, before your generation, has told the world that what makes us different is that we believe the Word of God. We were in a one of these pools this afternoon, just relaxing. It was pretty nice out there. If you've not got in any of those pools yet, they're pretty nice to relax in. And a lady said to us, said to Rebecca and I, you know, hi there, how are you doing, you know? What brings you here? As soon as we start talking, you're clearly not from around here, right? So we said, oh, we're here for a church conference. Oh, right. You know, what church is that? We're Christadelphians. You're what? You're Christian Dolphins? No, we're Christadelphians. No. Well, what is it about Christadelphians? And Beck immediately says, well, what Christadelphians believe is we believe that the whole Bible is the inspired Word of God. And that's what makes us different. And so we have to ask ourselves, don't we? Are we still on to that? Do we still hold fast to the whole of Scripture? Do we see it from Genesis to Revelation as the inspired word of God? Because we are seeing challenges, aren't we? We see our own brothers and sisters reinterpreting the Genesis record. We see standards plummeting in expectations of ourselves and each other's concerning the truth. Bezalel and Aholiab didn't reinterpret the pattern and the plans that were given to them. They didn't pick and choose the bits that suited them. They stuck to the pattern. Just come to Exodus chapter 25. Just see how strongly God speaks to them. Verse 9 of Exodus 25. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. You've got to stick with the pattern. Verse 40 of chapter 25. And see that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. And so Bezalel and Aholiab were shown in the mount. Moses was there. We learn from Hebrews chapter 8. We'll go there shortly. They were shown the pattern. That word shown literally means they were caused to see. It's obvious, isn't it? That's what being shown something is. They were caused to see the pattern that they might stick with that. Now come to the letter to the Hebrews. They were caused to see the pattern. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in verse 9, but we see Jesus. Do you see? Excuse the pun. That there, Bezalel and Aholiab are on the mount. And they are caused to see the pattern. But we see Jesus. Come to chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Now of the things which we have spoken of, bear in mind that they've just been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the writer to the Hebrews. Most certainly the Apostle Paul. And he says, of these things which you have spoken, the thing that I've shown you in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the sum. Do you recognize that phrase? There's our phrase, isn't it? From our reading today in Exodus chapter 38. This is the sum. Brethren and sisters, in this evening hour, we've come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. This memorial feast. This is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, and a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it's of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, if you're on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So isn't that amazing? That Moses was there with Bezalel and Aholiab in the mount. They were caused to see the pattern. And Moses is admonished when they come down from the mountain. Perhaps he said, well, maybe we can use this. Are we struggling to get hold of that material? I'll tell you what, don't worry too much. We'll use this material instead. And he's admonished. An angel admonishes him. You have to stick to the pattern. Isn't that amazing? To think that happened to even someone as great and amazing as the man Moses. But for us, we need to be mindful of the fact that we have been given the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word example is the word copy. It's the word used in chapter 9. Just briefly turn the page. In verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, that the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And it goes on to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. The pattern, you see, who serve, back in Hebrews 8 verse 5, who serve unto the pattern or the example. And what we have to understand is that this is the Son. We have to look to him, we have to see him, and we have to copy him. We have to understand that he is our pattern. Any building which is being built won't stand, will it, if the builders don't stick to the plans, to the pattern. If the architect has done the drawings and he gives them to the site foreman and the builders come on the site and there's all sorts of different skills people on the site, some who are good at building, some who are good at the electrics, some who are good at the plumbing, and they're all there on the site. But if they all choose to come up with their own design of how the building is going to get together, that building is not going to be too successful, is it? They've got to stick with the architect's plans. They've got to stick to the pattern. Which is why, when the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, just come back to the Apostle Paul's letter, first letter, to the second letter to Timothy, he says to him that he needs to stick to the pattern. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We read in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the form. That word form is the word pattern. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard of me. The word sound is the word healthy. Hold fast the pattern of healthy words. It'll make you well, which you've heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. So, brethren and sisters, in these last days, we hope they're the last days before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we've got to ensure that we hold fast to this pattern, to the word that's been given to us. And as we've come from across California, across North America, across the world to this place, we've come to open up our word, up God's word in this oasis, to be reminded of the pattern, that when we, God willing, go back to our various homes, our various ecclesias, our various family lives, we have all the challenges that go with ecclesial life and family life. For some of you, you've got many years' experience of heading up families, trying to support loved ones in the truth, trying to support loved ones who aren't in the truth, and trying to bring them to the truth. We need to ensure that whatever we do, we hold fast to the pattern given to us. Come finally to 1 Peter chapter 2. the sum of the pattern is the work, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we remember now in these emblems. The one who's the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. The one whom the builders rejected, but has been made the head of the corner. And as we remember him now in these emblems, let's resolve to show our thanks for his great work by trying to copy the pattern. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now that word example is a really interesting Greek word. It's only used on this one occasion in Scripture. It's the Greek word hypogrammos. And it was a tool used by children in the first century. And these children were given the alphabet, the Greek alphabet. And then it was put under their own writing paper that they might copy each letter of the alphabet. All the way from the beginning of the alphabet to the end of the alphabet. We think what God is, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the UK, and I'm sure the same phrase used in North America, we might talk about going to from A to Z, the beginning to the end. You're covering the whole thing. What a child would need to do is carefully copy that. They might learn the alphabet. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our, if you like, hypogrammos, that we might copy from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega, his example, that we might follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And so, brethren and sisters, what a lovely exhortation that is for us. That at the beginning of our Bible school, here this week, in everything we do, let's try to copy the example given to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, to try to follow carefully in his steps, to hold fast to this pattern of sound doctrine until he comes.